who brought you out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Therefore, we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things.
O Holy God, what have I feared more than you? What have I loved more than you? What have I trusted more than you? You know my sins, for all things lie naked and bare before your eyes, and the secret idolatries of my heart are not hidden from you. O Lord, deliver me, for I have done evil through my own fault. I have risked the loss of heaven and earned the pains of hell, and above all, I have grieved you, who are all goodness, faithfulness, and love.
O Lord, our God,
for the sake of Calvary, spare us, for we flee to you with no shelter. Pardon all our sins, receive us as your children, and fill us with your sanctifying fire. Amen.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity in the undivided unity.
Let us give glory to him, because he has shown his mercy to us.
I have set the Lord always before me.
Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken.
Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices.
My flesh also dwells secure.
For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol,
or let your Holy One see corruption.
You make known to me the path of life.
In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are our pleasures forevermore.
Thank you. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the unity in the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith, and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever.
First reading for the Feast of the Holy Trinity is from the book of Proverbs, the 8th chapter. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in the front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call. And my cry is to the children of man. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When he established the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him, like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens.
Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your boast, to still the enemy and the avenger.
When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place,
what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that you care for him.
Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor.
You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet,
all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field,
the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth.
The second reading is from the book of Acts, the 2nd chapter. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God for mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I might not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh will also dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend to the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
The Jews answered Jesus, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory, for there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. And the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of the Lord. Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another.
But the Godhead of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is one.
The glory
equal, the majesty co-eternal.
Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
Just as there are not three uncreated or three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite.
In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord.
Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion
to say that there are three gods or lords.
The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone.
The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding.
Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped.
Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages.
And he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age.
Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh.
Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity.
Although he is God and man, he is not two but one Christ, one, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God.
One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person.
For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ,
who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again on the third day from the dead,
ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies to give an account concerning their own deeds.
And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from John chapter 8, Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?' Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.'" This is our text. We began with the Athanasian Creed, which is simply loaded. There is so much stated in the Athanasian Creed that I feel like I could sit on that for the rest of my life and meditate on it, and I wouldn't reach the bottom of it. One God in three persons. It mentions that this is the Catholic faith, not meaning the Roman Catholic faith, but the Christian faith that is believed in every time and every place by Christians. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone has to understand every aspect of the Athanasian Creed. It doesn't mean that they even need to form or have heard of the Athanasian Creed. What it means is this: that there is a reality behind what we believe. What we confess and believe is not just words, not just ideas, but when we speak of God, we are speaking of a reality, someone who is, or being himself. One of the things I love most about the Athanasian Creed is not simply that it says this is what we believe, but it says that we worship one God in Trinity and unity, and unity. One God in Trinity and Trinity in unity. We worship this God. The reality is that everyone has a God that they worship, of one sort or another. And I mean everyone. The cashier at Hannaford's, the doctor doing your surgery, noted atheist Richard Dawkins. I would contend that he has a God, whether he knows it or not. Jordan Peterson, the psychologist and author, even Jason Tatum of the Celtics. And I'm not saying that I know what they believe, but I firmly believe that every human being, every single one, whether they know it or not, whether they acknowledge it or not, whether they can even name their gods, every human being has a god or gods. What do we mean by a god? I mean that every human being has something that they fear, that they love, that they trust in, most of all. You might start to diagnose what that God is by just asking some questions. Where do I turn in times of trouble? When I'm thankful, or when something good happens, how do I express and to whom do I express that thanks? That praise. What is it that I worship? That my body and life is oriented around, that I would kneel before? What is at the center of the things that I hear and believe and of my life? Maybe most simply, what is it that my life revolves around? That's what my God is. And it matters. I mean, fundamentally, I think human beings, we call them in scientific terminology Homo sapiens, but I think we should just call them Homo worshiping. That we are worshiping beings, creatures, who worship and pray and believe, and we are always seeking something or someone to worship, to trust in, to serve, honor, and obey. And if it's not one thing, it's the next. Honestly, I think that this is sometimes why we feel like we've got a little bit of whiplash in our culture and society, because everyone's going this direction as if this is what will save us and do the greatest good for us, and then 5 minutes later, we're over here following something else. It's amazing how easily we'll be taken in, how easily we'll latch on to this next thing as the answer to all my troubles and all my problems, and if I only had that, or if this only works out, my life's going to be great. What is it that you worship? And I know I just told you that you worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, and yes, that's the right answer, but I mean, really, if you dig down, you go not to Sunday morning at 10 a.m., but how about Monday morning at 10 a.m., or Wednesday night at 10 p.m., or anywhere in between? What are the things that have a hold on our lives? Sometimes I think about it in terms of what are the things that we obsess over. You know, those times when you've got the same thing cycling through your mind over and over and over again. I mean, if it's got a hold on us like that, and I mean us because it happens to me as well, that's trying to become a god in your life. What is it that we daydream about? When we should be doing something else, our mind wanders to thinking about this, and that would be so great and so lovely, and I hope that happens. Or maybe the thing that we wake up in a cold sweat over. These are the things knocking on our doors, asking us to open up and make them our God. Give them just a little bit of our love, our fear, our trust, our worship. I think it's important that we name our gods. And I mean this in a couple of ways. That we name the false gods that are knocking on the door, but we name also the true God whom we worship. We still live in a time and an age where I think the majority of people would probably acknowledge a god of some sort. If you ask them, just point blank, do you believe in God? Most of them will probably say yes. And that's fine, but honestly, I don't think that goes deep enough. I think, in general, we've got sort of this vague, generic notion of who this God is. I think we need to know what God is it that we have. That's the question. It matters if we know who he is, his name. I'll give you a little analogy here. Just like it matters if a husband knows who his wife is, or a wife knows who her husband is. If someone came up and asked you, who are you married to, and you couldn't give the name of your spouse, I mean, something's going on there. You know, God, sure. But I'm married to a particular woman, Kristen, and we have a particular God, not a generic God, not an abstract God, but the one who really is and has an identity and wants us to know him. And so we confess him. Who is our God? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Anyone who claims to know God but doesn't recognize that God doesn't know God at all. In our Old Testament reading, we heard the call of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8. Wisdom calls out. It pictures wisdom standing on a street corner, beckoning to people, making a public proclamation, having something to say to the whole world. The wisdom inviting us into a deeper knowledge and understanding of how things are and who the one is that stands behind all of it. It's interesting, if you read through that Proverbs 8, you'll see that wisdom is not just a thing, but a person, personified. Wisdom tells us that he was there, present, at and even before the creation of the world. Wisdom is described as being eternal, not something that was made, but something that was always there, even in the beginning. Wisdom is the workman by whom all things were created. The heavens and the earth and the seas and everything that is on them, and the creation is his joy and delight. What I love about that Proverbs 8 passage most of all is the joy that you find that this wisdom is the delight of the Lord, and he delights in the Lord, and together they delight over the children of man, over their creation. Our God takes pleasure and joy over what he has made. And you might remember back in Genesis chapter 1, when God made things and he looked at them, he saw them and he saw that it was good, beautiful. And sin hasn't ruined that fully. Sin's made some marks on it, of course, but it hasn't taken away the goodness of God's creation. And so in some way this wisdom is still calling out, directing us to the true God who made all things. But here's the problem. We didn't read this, but in Romans chapter 1, St. Paul makes clear that although the whole creation is crying out in praise and in testimony of the true God, that our knowledge of God has become darkened. I mean, just by looking at the world, we should be able to know there is a God, and he is powerful, and we ought to know him and have some obligation toward him, and he has an interest in us. But the world moved in a different direction in sin. And instead of seeing behind the creation the creator who made it all, the world got stuck on the creation, got stuck on the things. I mean, just go back to the ancient religions. What do they turn into their gods? They look up, it's the sun. They look down, it's the water. Storm comes, it's the storm god. Animals, all of it, they worship the creation rather than the creator, than the one whom they should have known. Jesus came so that we might know the true God, so that we might worship the true God, and even better than that, that we might know that we are known and loved by that God. And that's the question that hung around Jesus' entire life. We hear it especially in John chapter 8. Who is he? And how does he relate to God? They started out with just, an innocent question. You're not demon-possessed, are you? I mean, who's going to answer yes to that question? Oh, you got me right there. You're a Samaritan? No. Jesus is the one who knows the Father and who comes from the Father that we might know the Father through him as well. And Jesus said, if anyone believes my words, he will never see death. And that's the thing that starts setting off the fireworks. Never see death. What do you mean? And Abraham, he died. The prophets, they died. David, he died. All of the great kings, all of the great leaders, everyone had died. Who does Jesus think that he is? He says, you know, all those greats, I've seen them. I know them. Before them, I am. Jesus makes the claim there that he is not just a creature, that he is not just a human being, but that he is a man who was before the creation, who was with God and is God, who is the very second person of the Trinity. The question that faces us, the question that ought to face our world, is not so much do you believe in God, but do you believe what Jesus says or not? I mean, no, we may not understand the full Trinity fully, but do we believe what Jesus says? Do we trust that he is one with the Father and the Spirit? Or do we, like those Jews, believe that he is a liar? I mean, if he's not God, then they were right to pick up stones to kill him. If he's not God, then he can't send the Holy Spirit to enlighten us. If he's not God, then everything we're doing here is blasphemy. Do you believe that he is the true God? We say, yes, Lord, we believe. We believe that he is the true God, and not only that he is one, that if we believe in him, we will never taste death, but that he, in fact, is the one who has gone before us and tasted death for us, that we might have life with the Father and with him and with the Spirit forever and ever. Wisdom calls out not only that there is a God, not only that he made and created all things, but that this God took on flesh that he might redeem us from the darkness of our idolatry and our unbelief and our fear, love, and trust that is pulled every direction. And he calls out to us and says, I have died for you. Trust me. I will be your God. And I will send you the Spirit. And I will bring you the Father. This is the God whom we worship and know in Jesus Christ. And it's amazing to think of, you know, St. Peter, as we heard in Acts chapter 2, he was willing to stand up boldly and confidently and proclaim Jesus to those that were there on the first Pentecost. He said, this is a man attested to you by God. He was crucified and he is risen from the dead, and he is the one about whom David wrote in the Psalms. He is exalted to the right hand of the Father and pours out the Holy Spirit. He is both Lord and Christ. This Jesus, whom you crucified. He is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, who became our brother and took on our human flesh, who rejoiced over his creation, not only in the beginning when he made it, but who rejoiced over his creation that he redeemed as he hung on the cross, pouring out his lifeblood. He is the one who was willing to face death, and to face it soon, and to face it fully, that we might be his and belong to him forever. Jesus Christ, through whom God is made known to us, and through whom we are brought to God, forgiven, redeemed, and saved. We worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, and we do it not only every single Sunday as we gather, but we do it with our lives, as halting and challenging as that can be, and we know that the day will come when we will do it with our entire being. In all eternity, gathered there around the throne with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the saints and the angels and the archangels, and we will confess this God to be our God, and we will praise the one whom we have come to know in Jesus Christ to be our Lord as well. And so we come and we confess that we have not always or fully or perfectly in our life honored this God, feared him, loved him, or trusted in him. But we have come today to be reoriented again. You might say it's that reset and that recalibration for us as we gather here. To take this past week, wherever we were pulled in our worship, our belief, our fear, our love, and our trust, and to reorient us again and reset us in the right way. With our eyes and our ears turned to our God, and with his love poured out upon us again, and his forgiveness that is new this morning. Your God comes, and he says, I will be your God. I, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in whom you are baptized and claimed, I am, and I will be forever and ever, and you will be mine. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding now guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thanksgiving for our redemption in Jesus Christ, for the work of the Holy Spirit in bringing us to faith, and for adoption as God's children through baptism, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we may know the word of the Lord and keep it in faith through all the days of our earthly lives, until we are joined with faithful Abraham, with patriarch, prophet, apostle, and evangelist, in the presence of the Lord forevermore, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our New England district, and especially for Robert, our president, that we may, in unity and in joy, proclaim where we live the glorious good news of Christ, and that he would be upheld in all his work of leading us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in various stages of life, that parents and children would be given the courage to love as God has loved us and be united in their common life by the Holy Spirit to know Jesus and serve him. That Rachel and their babies would be protected in the womb and in labor. That the Lord would bless the single with chastity, godly friendships, and devotion to him. And that the Lord would protect the orphan and defend the helpless. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the protection of all the unborn, that abortion-vulnerable women might find safety and help, that those crushed by abortions might receive forgiveness and consolation, that the Lord would bless the work of all pregnancy resource centers, especially First Concern, CareNet, Clearway Clinic, and Problem Pregnancy. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we may render due honor to our rulers while faithfully serving Christ, by whom all kings reign. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the ailing, the dying, and those in need, especially for Ted and Cindy and all who mourn the death of Eno, Donna as she undergoes a procedure, Tamas, recovering from surgery, Jim, with thanksgiving for his prompt medical care, John, with thanksgiving for his improved prognosis, Bob, as he receives care for a heart issue, Pam, who continues to be hospitalized, as well as Diane, Marilyn, Lori, Julian, Jared, Donna, John, Lori, and Evan, Mary, Dale, Bruce, and those we now name in our hearts. That God would grant them healing and patience in the midst of their afflictions, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faithful use of the Lord's gifts, that we may be drawn frequently to the Lord's table in true repentance to taste and see that the Lord is good, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For reform and renewal by the word and spirit, that where we lack love, we may be built up in Christ, and where we are distracted, we would be given a single focus on our Lord Jesus, so that at last we may be found faithful and be reunited with those who have gone before us to the Lord's nearer presence. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Heavenly Father, from whom all fatherhood is named, we give you thanks for earthly fathers. Give them confidence in their station and zeal for their task to care for their families faithfully. Make them examples to their children of godly life and love of your word. Bless their work of bringing up children in the fear and instruction of the Lord, and give them the comfort of your absolution over all their shortcomings. Gather us together with all our fathers to your eternal household, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, who with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, one Lord. In the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our reading today is from Romans, starting with the chapter 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. If you receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of the adoption as sons, by whom all cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God. If the children then, heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provide we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How searchable are the judgments, how inscrutable are his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has given a gift to him that might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with each other, in according with Christ Jesus, that together you may be one voice. Glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting.
Amen.
Depart in peace.
Amen.
Source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled to constantly serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless me the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.